warrior from his youth. This means he was trained at the best Philistine military academy. And he represents those warlike peoples, the Philistines. Now these Philistines were ferocious warriors. We find them fighting Samson in the Bible. Abraham fought against the Philistines. And over and over in Israel's histories, they were often attacked by the Philistines. In fact, the Philistines were so ferocious, they even attacked Egypt. But in 1190 BC, Egypt pushed them back to the coast of Palestine. In fact, their name still lives on today. The word Palestine is just the modern word for Philistine. It's the same people group. And these Philistines in the ancient Bible were ferocious warriors. And this day, Goliath represents those warlike peoples. And your Bible says that every day, for 40 days, down in the valley of Elah, with mountains on both sides of the valley, that the people of God, Israel, would line up on one side of the mountain. And the Philistines would line up on the other side of the mountain. And this valley down in Judah, out would march this majestic Philistine warrior. Now remember, ancient people are tribal peoples. So he's not just representing himself as an individual, but he represents the whole nation. And every day he steps out onto the field of battle like a gladiator. The Bible describes his helmet as being made of brass. It says that his chest plate was made of brass. It says that he had brass plates across his thighs and his calves. And he had something strapped between his shoulders that looked like a flagpole. And the Bible says that that was his spear. And then the Bible says something else about his spear. The Bible says his spear had an iron tip. Now why is that important? It's important because it shows that the Philistines had moved from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age. And what it's saying to you as the reader is that the Philistines had the latest and greatest fighting technology. And so Israel is already at a disadvantage. Because they don't have the latest fighting technology. Goliath moved from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age. But the Bible will show later is that even if you're in the Stone Age, you can still have victory. And so for every day, for 40 days, Goliath steps out onto the field of battle. His armor bearer goes before him. And this man walks out like a gladiator. And he shouts to the people of God. He says, Israel, send me a man that he might fight against me. And if I defeat him, you will be our slaves. But if he defeats and kills me, we will be your slaves.
things.
And every day for 40 days,
Goliath marches out onto the field of battle, proud and confident that there is nobody in Israel who can stand against him. Question. Where is Saul?
Not Saul away.
Where is Saul?
Saul.
Meet Saul.
I mean, who means yes, Saul?
Remember, Saul is a giant too.
Who's that Saul? So no, I'm saying, but I knew.
Because your Bible says that he stood head and shoulders above every Israelite.
Yeah.
Saul is a giant too.
Saul is a giant.
But he's a giant on the outside.
That's
but he's a midget on the inside. Why is he so afraid? Because your Bible says Saul had lost the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Saul is a study in failed leadership. Now you remember when he was called, don't you? Remember the people of God said, we want to be like the other nations. And so we want a king. Because the Amalekites have a king. The Hittites have a king. The Perizzites have a king. And we feel defenseless because we don't have a king. Now the people of God at that point had said, God is not our king. So we want a physical king. So we can be like the other nations. In some places, the church wants to be just like the world. We want to walk like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to live like the world. But God has called us to be a distinctive people. He has called us to be a peculiar people. He has called us to be a particular people. But Israel wanted to be like the other nations. And so the day Samuel showed up in his village, Saul was so humble that he hid himself among the bushes. Can you imagine this huge man trying to bury himself in the straw? He was the son of Kish. And he didn't feel that he was worthy to be Israel's king. And when he was little in his own eyes, God promoted him. Oh, Ghanaians, don't ever forget that when we're humble, God can promote us. But if when we get high, we forget about God, he will bring us back down to size. Because God wants to save us. And some of us he can save through prosperity. And others of us he has to save us through adversity. But Saul didn't understand that. So when he was little, God blessed him in his reign. He reigned for 30 years, for 42 years. He was made king when he was 30 years old. The next time we see him in 1 Samuel 15, he is now in his 60s. And God has given him a command. He has told him to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. And Saul goes in and he does that at first. God told him, destroy men, women, boys, girls, and all of the animals. Because the Amalekites would have continued resistance to the people of God. So God said to cleanse the earth of them. And it was a form of punishment. But Saul gets to the village of the Amalekites. And he walks in. And he looks around. And he begins noticing that these Amalekites have some really nice possessions. Oh, he sees a Mercedes over there. Ah, ladies, he sees, I don't know what kind of shoes ladies wear today. He sees shoes from Paris. From the Champs-Élysées. He begins to notice now that there are suits hanging in the closet. Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss.
Armani suits. Designer suits. And then he decides that what we will do, if you read 1 Samuel 15 carefully, he says, we're going to keep the best things for ourselves. And further, he's going to spare Agag, the king. And that's what they do. The next day, Samuel walks up. And here is how Saul greets him. He says, we have done what the Lord told us to do. And Samuel says, if you have, what does the bleeding of the sheep mean in my ear? Where did these sheep come from? Were those Amalekite sheep, Samuel? And where did these cows come from? These are Amalekite cows. And what happened to Agag? He's in the tent. He's still alive. We have done what the Lord told us to do. We would have killed them, Samuel. But the people said. Can I talk about leadership just a little bit? The first sign of failed leadership is that it substitutes human opinion for the word of God. God's command was clear. But Samuel said, I think it's a waste to throw away all these Armani suits and these expensive high heels and these Rolex watches. That's a waste. And why kill Agag? Because Agag can be a useful source of military information for us. And on paper, it looked like good thinking. The problem is God had already told him what to do. The first sign of failed leadership is that it substitutes something else for the word of God. And here's the second sign of failed leadership. It puts the people's voice in the place of God. Remember what Saul said? The people said. Okay, now look at what we got, everybody. We've got what God said, and we've got what the people said. God said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The people said, every day is just like any other day. God said, when people die, they are asleep. But the people said, no, they're not. They go up to heaven and they're in a disembodied state. God said, I've given you the spirit of prophecy. But the people say, we don't need that. We can think for ourselves. God said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It is God who said that one-tenth of all that we earn belongs to Him. But the people say, everything I make is mine. God said, be careful what we put into our bodies. But the people said, it's my body. I put what I want to in. And whenever a leader has failed, look for this sign. They will elevate what the people say over what God has said. And so Samuel turns now to leaving. And guess what else he says? When you get a chance, read it in 1 Samuel 15. He says, well, can you just come back with me so the elders will see that, so they'll look to the elders like you and I are together and that I'm still a follower of God. Here's a third sign of failed leadership. Leadership fails when it elevates appearance over substance. Over the reality. And now Samuel turns to walk away from him. And your Bible says that he reaches out, and in the Hebrew, he grabs the hem of Samuel's garment. Now, that's important. Because that says that at the point that he is rejected, that Saul is in utter grief and he has probably collapsed when Samuel said, God has rejected you. And as Samuel is walking away, he reaches out and he grabs the hem of Samuel's garment. And he rips the hem. And God says, as you have ripped the hem of my garment, so God has ripped the kingdom from your hands and given it to another. Saul was a failed leader. But I'm glad to tell you today, God will never be left without a witness. Here comes David. David enters the story. A non-pedigreed shepherd boy from a family really of no names. Three of his brothers are already in the army. And they're out fighting with Saul. And David's story begins in his daddy's kitchen. His daddy calls him in and he says, son, take these ten loaves of bread. And take these ten bushels of grain. And then what I want you to do is to take a gift for the commander. Because in ancient cultures, gift giving had great significance. You know, I often say that African cultures are far closer to the culture of the Bible than Western cultures. First of all, African cultures are collectivistic. And the Bible is written from a collectivistic perspective. The traditions of the Bible are consistent with collectivistic peoples. So while the missionaries came to teach you, in fact, you have much that you can teach the missionaries.
Amen.
And so now, so Saul is rejected, and here comes David. And David now, he is now going to deliver these goods to his brothers who are out fighting in the battle. David is about 17 miles away from the battle site. But he knows his way around that part of the world. And when David arrives,
David
he walks up to the scene of the battle. He sees the Philistines on one side of the valley. And he looks and he sees the Israelites on the other side of the valley. And then he hears the roaring of
Goliath.
Israel, send me a man that he might fight
the
beast. And he notices that the people of God, they also line up and march out every day for 40 days. They take up their military formation. And then they hear the roaring of
Goliath.
And your Bible says as soon as they hear Goliath's voice, they begin scattering and running for cover. And David walks up. And he hears Goliath challenging the people of God. He looks around. He doesn't see the king. So he walks up to the commander. And he says to the commander, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now the people begin whispering. Man, don't you know that's Goliath? That man is a killer. Look at those weapons he has. He has killed people all around the Mediterranean and the Aegean. He's been trained since he was a little boy to kill people. He takes people's hearts out. Like Mike Tyson, he bites their ears off. This Goliath is a cold-blooded killer. No one can fight him. And David says, I'll fight him. Here's little David. Maybe he's 15, 16 years old. This is a young man. He's a little boy. Remember when Samuel showed up at Jesse's house, all the brothers marched out because they had bigger things to do. But David was the boy who kept the sheep. And this little shepherd boy says, I will fight the giant. When he says, I'll fight the giant, that word begins rippling out through the armies of Israel. That word begins to wind its way through the armies of Israel. And then it reaches its way all the way into Saul's tent. And Saul sends for him.
And Saul, don't go for him.
Who is it?
I don't know.
It's me, sir.
Me who?
Me who?
Oh, my God.
David, sir, the son of Jesse.
David, yes, sir.
David, come in, David.
Bra.
Have a seat. Are you David?
No. Yes. We are David.
Yes, sir, I am.
I am your David.
And tell me, whose son are you? I am the son of Jesse, sir. Jesse, do I know you? No, sir, but you may know my brothers. You may know my brothers. They're fighting. Oh, those are your senior brothers. Yes, sir, those are my brothers. Now, son, first of all, I want to thank you for your willingness to fight the giant. You know, son, we need more young people just like you. And so, son, I need to ask you a few questions. He says, son, tell me, do you have any experience fighting giants? No, sir.
I mean, you'll be out for that.
He said, now, son, You know, he says, okay, I'm glad you answered that question correctly. Because, you know, the brethren have done a background check on you. And we've looked at your background. And we see some nice things on your background. You can play the harp. That's good. You've been trained in music. That's good. We need nice young men, new musicians. And then you write songs. And then we notice that you keep sheep. That's really nice of you, son. But that man is a giant. And he's been trained to kill people. In fact, Goliath is a killing machine. He's got all the latest technology. He says, son, you cannot meet this giant. Now listen to me. If you listen to how David answers, David's answer tells us how to meet our giants.
Amen.
And he gives us three
keys.
Now let me tell you something. If you keep on living Ghanaians, you are going to meet a giant. I don't know what your giant is going
to
be. It could be the giant of an incurable sickness. It could be the giant of financial hardship. It could be the giant of a marriage that breaks up. Your giant could be the giant of children who are wayward. But if you keep living, you will be giant. But here is the good news. If you listen to David and you accept his keys, you will defeat every giant that appears in your
experience.
Listen to the first things David does. When Saul tells him, you cannot defeat the giant. Notice now, David doesn't argue with Saul. David begins to share a testimony with Saul. He says, King, see, David is respectful of older people. O King, even when older people disrespect younger people, In our community, we have taught our younger people to be respectful of older people. So David is respectful. He says to Saul, he says, sir, he says, may I tell you a testimony? He says, one night I was out, I was keeping my father's sheep. And it was a beautiful night. I was lying back looking up at the stars. And saying to myself, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his
handiwork.
He says, and then he says, out of the darkness of night, I heard a growl. And it was a bear. And as I looked through the darkness, I noticed that the bear had one of my father's sheep in its mouth. He says, I ran up on the bear and I beat it. And then another night, I'm out lying back, looking at the stars, and saying to myself, oh, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He says, and then I hear a roar. And this time, it's a lion. And this lion has one of my father's sheep between its jaws. He says, and I ran upon the lion. And I grabbed it by its beard. Thus signifying that it was a male lion. The largest and the strongest of the species. It was not a female lion, because female lions have no beard.
Yata buwa wuni kodi se.
Ah, it was a male lion. He says, I grabbed the lion by its beard. He says, I beat it and I killed it. He says, it all came. If God could deliver me from the lion in the bear, surely he can deliver me from this uncircumcised killer. Here's the first key to walking in victory. When you face your giant, you've got to do like David. You've got to download your spiritual resume. See, your spiritual resume is your story with God. And if you look at your spiritual resume carefully, you're going to see two things. You're going to see, first of all, that like David, you have been selected.
Amen.
It was no accident that David was in that place at that time. Because God had selected him. It's no accident that you are members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because of all the Ghanaians in the world, and Ghanaians are everywhere, you have been selected. And now, here's the second thing you're going to notice. Not only have you been selected, but like David, you've been protected. Because the lion or the bear should have killed David. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And so David now was protected by God. And when he shares his testimony, now Saul, the failed leader, wants to help him. Saul looks at this little boy, and then he whispers to his attendant. And his attendant runs out of the room. And when his attendant comes back, he's got the most beautiful armor that David has ever seen. And Saul says to the attendant, dress David for battle. And he puts Saul's huge helmet on David's little head. He puts Saul's huge breastplate on David's little chest. He puts Saul's huge thigh plates across David's little thigh. And little David now is given Saul's huge sword. And when the attendant puts it on him, it drags across the floor. And now little David tries to walk with all of this armor on. And then your Bible says David took off Saul's armor. He stripped it off. And he says, I can't go in these. Because I have not tried them. He says, King, I'm not a military man. I'm a shepherd boy. He says, and what I know best is how to defend sheep. And he says, so take this off, and I'll go with what God has given me. Here is your second key. The first key is to download your God-given identity. Download your spiritual resume. Here's the second key. When you face your giant, you got to upload your God-given identity. You got to fight your giant with what God has given you. He doesn't expect you to be someone else. He expects you to fight it in your armor, in your personality, with your prayers, and with your power.
And
he has given you. Mama's prayers were wonderful. Grandfather's prayers were wonderful. But God's going to put every one of us in a place where only our prayers will pull us through. And David understood that. Saul didn't. Because Saul was a lost leader. He didn't have the Spirit of God. He was a carnal fighter. He fought flesh with flesh. When he saw David, when he saw Goliath with a helmet, he said, David, you need a helmet. If Goliath has a sword, then David, you need a sword. If Goliath has armor, then David, you need armor. But here's what Saul didn't understand. You can never beat the devil with his own weapons. People will lie on you, but you cannot lie on them. People will steal from you, but you are not free to steal from them. Because the battle is a spiritual battle. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Come on, let's face it. Some of our churches are lost. They don't believe anymore. But you should not join them. God calls you to be faithful. And sometimes the best thing you can do for these kinds of churches is to go into deep prayer that the revival fires of the Holy Spirit will fall on the leadership and will set that church ablaze for the glory of God. It's giant meeting time. Day 41 has dawned. I can see the sunrise coming up over the valley. I can see yellow shafts of golden sunlight piercing through the gray clouds. I can see now the armies of Israel lining up on one side of the valley. And I can see the others. I can see the Philistines lining up on the other side of the valley. And now I can see Goliath and his armor bearer marching out. As Goliath marches out onto the field of battle, now every dew-crowned blade of grass yields to the giant swagger. To the giant's swagger. To the giant's steps. And now, Goliath issues his challenge once again. Israel, send me a man that he might fight against me. Now the Israelites line up. And they march out in military fashion. But day 41 has dawned. And this is not like the other 40 days. Because now from behind the Israelite lines, as Goliath issues his challenge, after they have lined up, and he expects them to run again, from behind the Israelite line squirts little David. Goliath looks at him. He looks at the Philistine. He looks at the Israelite. And he says to himself, you mean they're going to send a boy to do a man's job? Now he's insulted. He's insulted. And he now begins to curse little
David.
He says, come to me, little boy. He says, and I'm going to rip the flesh from your ribs. He says, you little blankety blank blank. I'm going to grab your blank.
And
I'm going to beat your blank. And he says, now, little boy, come to me. And now he's angry at little David. His face flushes red hot with rage. And now, as he looks at little David, he decides that he wants to get a better view of the target. And so he raises his helmet. And let me tell you something, that's just the opening that David needs. If I had time, I'd preach to you about how every one of your problems presents an opportunity. He raises that helmet. And now David begins to speak. For the first time, you hear him talk to the giant. And he says, you come against me with a sword and a spear. But I come. You come. But I come. You come. But I come. You come. But I come. You come with all your military tanks. You come with your sword. You come with your helmet. You come with your armor. You come, and I come. Now we've got the great controversy being played. Forces of light against the forces of darkness. You come, when I come. I said, you come, when I come. You come with the sword. You come with the spear. But I come. I come in the name. In the name that name is above every other name. And in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, everyone proclaims that Jesus is Lord. In the name, the songwriter said, the name of Jesus is Lord. I love its music to repeat. The name. Peter said, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I come in the name. Oh, I heard Isaiah say, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. There's power in the name. There's authority in the name. There's victory in the name. There's passion in the name. It's that name that wakes you up every morning. It's that name that puts food on your table. It's that name that protects your children. That name. I said that name. That name of every other name. Now, day 41. When he raises his helmet, that's all the opening that David needs. He pulls out his slate. He reaches down into his satchel. And he drops a sling stone in that slate. Pop! Pop! Now he begins whipping that thing through the air like a helicopter. And as he approaches, your Bible says, he didn't take one backwards step. That text says, he ran to meet him. Why are you running away from your
child? I didn't know we got it.
Why are you running away?
I didn't know we got it.
Don't run away.
You got it?
run to the giant.
Yeah.
In the name of the Lord. Now you hear that slate whipping through the air. Like a helicopter. And now as he gets within sight, David releases that stone with a swish. It bites into the forehead of Goliath. Goliath now begins to fall and teeter like a drunken man. Now he falls face down on the ground. And what does little David do? Little shepherd's hands that had been cursed. Little shepherd's feet. He comes now and he mounts that heaving torso of Goliath. He unsheathes Goliath's sword. And with a pop, he decapitates the giant. What did the Philistines do?
They
were running.
Amen.
Hey, I got a question for you. Remember the contract? I said, do you remember the contract?
Yeah.
What kind?
Remember the contract?
Yeah.
They know the story. Here's the contract. If you defeat us, we become your slaves. Here's your takeaway. Never make a contract with the devil. The devil never honors his contracts. If you got to make a contract with anybody, make a contract with the Lord. Come on. Because God is good on every contract. All his promises are yea and amen. God is good on every contract. So you're going to meet giants. How are you going to meet them? You're going to download your spiritual resume. You're going to upload your God-given identity. And then like David, you're going to plug into the power of the name. You're going to connect to the power of the name. And in those three steps, like David, you will walk in victory.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.